That's a bad name for a podcast. Thrones of Games.
Thrones of Game.
That's a bad name. Unless the whole point was like to play board games, and then whoever wins that week gets to sit on a throne, and then you switch off.
But now you're just saying. Now you're just talking about tabletop.
Right. I mean, it's just like, yeah.
Now you're basically telling Will Wheaton, "Hey, your show sucks. Rename it."
That's all I've ever wanted to say to Will Wheaton.
Fuck you. Will Wheaton's a gem. Okay.
Sure. He's like one of those gems that you get out of the supermarket machines where you put the quarter in and you turn it and it's it's one of those things.
All right, you meet Will Wheaton. What's the first thing you say to him? What do you say?
Oh, wow. I love Stand By Me. That's what I say.
I would just talk nonstop about Star Trek.
I would just want to like make him mad and just like tell him that I love things that he's not in that I would think he's in. Like, I'm pretty sure he wasn't in Firefly.
You are great in Ferris Bueller. Let me just tell you. You're amazing.
Well, no, but, like, be, like, adjacent. Like, Will Wheaton adjacent things, right?
No, that's when you talk about, like, Star Wars.
Yeah.
So,
sure. Like, Firefly.
Uh-huh.
Classic. He's not in Firefly, right? I don't think so.
No, yeah. I love your guest role in Mike and Molly.
Like, yeah.
God, just, you and Shawshank was astonishing.
I don't know how you played a black guy. Incredible.
No, I would go up to him and I would just go bum, bum, ba-da-da, bum, ba-da-da. And I would hope that he sings along with me. But he probably gets that like every day.
A lot.
Yeah, that's probably
all. Well, that's like I didn't try to be, you know, original. I would just talk to him about being an ensign on Star Trek. He was in Flubber? Wait a minute.
He was the Flubber.
Whoa.
Didn't you see the movie?
Mocap.
He had a chubby stage. He was the Flubber.
A midget chubby stage.
He was the original Andy Serkis.
We should get Will Wheaton on this show.
Wait, hold on, wait.
I feel like that's
I found my favorite
fairly attainable, isn't it?
I found my favorite credit.
It's less attainable than getting Neil Breen.
Well, that's true. And we didn't get that pussy.
He was on Family Guy as the anti-abortion activist / Will Wheaton.
Wait.
He played himself, the anti-abortion activist.
Was that the same role?
I don't
know. Or those two different roles?
Because
I think they're two separate, but...
Because that would be taking a very sharp political stance
I know.
On a cartoon.
Yeah. When you go on Will Wheaton's Twitter, it just says Will Wheaton, anti-abortion activist. That's his major claim to fame there. 100%. I feel like, yes, that bitch Neil Breen is way easier to get on, and he did not come on our show. As is that great guy, the son of the dude that directed Manos, Hands of Fate. No, I feel like Will Wheaton's out there. He's around.
Might help if we were good.
Yeah, no, obviously. I mean, that's
that's a start. We're sure,
that's
there.
That's a good way to start. Yeah, but no, but he podcasts, doesn't he? He
does. I like think a bunch he does. He probably has
Radio Free Burrito.
Yeah, he's got what? Like five podcasts.
That's the name of it.
Did you just say three words?
Radio Free Burrito. That's like his podcast, like his big podcast.
So what are they?
Why didn't we think of that name for our website?
Yeah, I know, right? Radio Free Burrito. Damn. As a matter of fact, you know, I bet you I did propose some name like that, and you were like vehemently.
Not this word again.
Venomously.
I'm genuinely upset with you. Yeah.
You were against it.
Yeah, I was.
If I said RadioFreeBurrito.com,
folks, yeah, no.
You would have been like, hell no.
Yeah, probably. And I'm still against it when Will Wheaton does it, by the way.
Okay.
I'm not a Will Wheaton fan.
He's fine.
I just want to say that right here, right now. Actually, I don't think I want him on my podcast. I'd like him off my podcast.
I like him. He's fine.
I like Will Wheaton.
Like, I'm not, like, a huge fan or anything. Like, I would see him and be like, oh, hey, it's Will Wheaton. That's pretty cool. That's it. But, I mean, I would do that with someone I do like, too, so.
I find him and Chris Hardwick's friendship very grating. I find it incredibly grating.
I didn't know they had one.
Well, they're best friends.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because it's like you can put like...
But is it because you don't like Will Wheaton or you don't like Chris Hardwick or both?
I used to like both of them. As a matter of fact, I liked Chris... I'm going to do the hipster thing where I liked Chris Hardwick before he was cool. Mm-hmm. I liked him when he was just a podcaster and I was the only one that knew who he was. But now he's like hosting LeBron's game show and he's at the back end of every fucking like drama I watch on basic
See, the
cable.
Worst part, though,
I have about, to watch him talk about it afterwards.
The worst
it's
part
the worst.
About you saying that, though, is that like these people that you liked, it's like you don't want them to be successful.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank God he hates us.
Isn't like, I mean, right? I know. Like, it's like, if you like this person, don't you want them to be successful?
I'm very jealous, and I have, you know, major issues when it comes to that.
Oh,
stuff.
Is that all it is?
Yeah, that's all it is, man.
Okay.
It's just I don't want my friends to succeed. Is that that?
Does that make you a bad person?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Is that why you refuse to edit this podcast?
Yes, that's right. I want to expose us and all of our inadequacy. Listen, man. No, maybe it's that. Maybe it's I just want to be Chris Hardwick. Like, my dream.
Well, that's the other thing is, like, I know for a fact you would take every single job that he's taken if presented to
and
you.
More.
And more.
And more. Yeah. Yes. I would say yes to the stuff that he has turned down. Like, this dude, to be a guy that can just do a podcast, talk about shows that I like after they air on television, and then host a game show produced by LeBron James, which is basically Giant Plinko. Like, I don't know. Can life get better? I think not. He's also, I believe, dating like a really like
married.
Married.
They got married a few months ago.
Oh, yeah. Really? What? God, he's had a bunch of model girlfriends, but this one is like the heir to the Hearst dynasty. You know the Hearst family, like they like own Hollywood or whatever.
Wow.
But she's like a smoking hot model and filthy rich, and Chris Hardwick is a nerd that got to marry that.
That's incredible.
I know. So I think all it is
I think
total
that's
resentment.
The American dream.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely. Do your damn podcast show.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Yeah, and she's a billionaire.
Wow.
With a B.
With a B. Hard yeah. Hard B.
Hard B.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Buh.
She
billion. Billion.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's who that is.
That's incredible.
So that's why I hate him. And I find his friendship with Will Wheaton very grating. I think it's probably too close to life.
Oh no, it was a year ago.
Because all of my friendships are like Chris Hardwick and Will Wheaton.
Okay.
I think ultimately that's
Are you the Will Wheaton or are you the Chris Hardwick or
I'll let you decide that. Or, but I think it's fairly obvious. I think it's fairly obvious.
Zach, I just want to confirm something so I can make sure that I have the right information here. Is Will Wheaton married to a smoking hot model with a hard $1 billion fortune?
No.
No.
But he's got a podcast.
You're Will Wheaton.
Okay.
He has one adoptive son though. That's fun. And one stepchild.
Okay, you know a lot about Will Wheaton.
Well, I watch Tabletop and he talks about it all the time.
Ah, that'll
interesting.
Happen. Okay.
Yeah, you're like Will Wheaton but less.
You're just like him, only worse.
As a matter of fact, I think I could be wrong about this, but I do think that Will Wheaton does a podcast about bad movies. I think he does.
He probably does it better.
Yes,
yeah. I would imagine.
Okay, hang
that's
on.
Awesome. Great.
Will Wheaton movie podcast. I'm pretty sure he does. I think I stumbled upon this not too long ago. Not Radio Free Burrito.
No, not
TV crimes. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. No, this is I'm pretty sure, yes. I think they go back and they like revisit old movies and stuff. Oh my God, they did a podcast about Baywatch Nights. Who are we? Jesus fucking Christ.
You know, if we didn't know any better, it would sound like we're copying them. But I can say I didn't have a fucking clue. That's for sure.
They did one in 2015 about Baywatch Nights.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
He doesn't do it that often, but he does it. It's called TV Crimes.
Well, that's... All right.
I think that's exactly what they are, or what we are.
Okay. Well, hey.
Okay, great. Now that we feel great about ourselves on Labor Day, let's start the show.
Happy Labor Day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Count it.
Okay.
Afternoon. Happy day off, everybody.
I am.
This is our day off, and we're doing a podcast talking about a show that no one cares about anymore.
It's a little known show.
All right.
It's not very not very popular.
Yeah, it's not. It's a sleeper. It's a sleeper hit. It's streaming only on Crackle.
On the paid Crackle.
On the paid Crackle. You have to have a Hulu membership.
No, is there a paid Crackle?
Probably.
No, Crackle's totally
You got to subscribe to Hulu and then get the Crackle add-on on Hulu. But yes. Then you also got to make sure that you're subscribed to CISO at the same time. It's yes. A weird loophole in the whole thing.
CISO.
Yep. Does each of them own every other second?
Yes.
So if you don't have all of those, it won't play properly.
Right.
You only get 2/3 of the episode, yes.
Right.
Yeah. Then you got to get the third. And of course, you got to have Amazon Prime, but you got to get the Amazon Prime with the paid
music, right?
Music service in addition.
That, otherwise, because
you don't get the soundtrack.
You don't get the score.
You got to sync up the score to the show, and that's how it works, yeah. And it's
really
weird.
Poorly designed.
Yeah, it's weird. And you can only watch the episodes at gas stations. It's really weird. You got to go to like BP gas stations and watch it on the little monitors in between Fox News alerts.
Yeah.
It's a really bizarre thing. It's kind of strange they do it that way.
Although Thursdays at 2 a.m., every BP is packed with people watching the show. So,
yeah, it is. You know. Well, I mean, naturally. Yeah. I mean, it's right after work. It's Thirsty Thursday, and we got to go watch this Game of Thrones.
2 a.m. is right after work?
Yeah, that's it.
Most people, yeah. Not you. No?
You'd think
I get out at 3.
You'd think Gulf or ExxonMobil will get involved in this, but for some reason, BP has exclusive rights. I don't know what it is. It's really weird. Welcome to Why Is This a Thing? Happy Labor Day. It's early. It's one of those shows. We're squeezing this one in. Adam is not here yet again. But who the fuck cares? I believe his grandfather's getting married for the fifth time.
Third time.
Third time.
For the third time for the first time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. There's a first time for every third time marriage. We're talking Game of Thrones today because, as we discussed on last week's program, we believe that this last season of Game of Thrones is worthy of the Why Is This a Thing treatment, and we will not hold back as we hurl insults, innuendos, and general grievances at season 7.
General grievance?
Grievances.
You said general grievance.
Grievances. General is grievances.
That, is that the he's, other general in Star Wars?
Yeah, he's the guy with the 5 lightsabers as opposed to the 4. Yeah, General Grievance. He's always so mad. Actually voiced by Andy Rooney. It's crazy.
Wow.
Andy Rooney.
Fascinating.
What's up with this General Palpatine?
Fantastic little known fact about Star Wars.
Yeah,
it is. General Grievance. That's a great YouTube sketch. I'm going to write that. I'm giving you pearls, guys. I'm going to write that down. Anyway, yeah, we're going to talk Game of Thrones today, but before then, how are we doing?
Not bad.
Yeah, fine.
I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do after this.
Okay, cool.
Watch some Twin Peaks.
I might do Star Trek.
That's very different.
Yeah.
But actually not as different as you might think.
What a life. I love Labor Day. I don't know why I love Labor Day, but I always
Because you love it. Doing labor.
I love days off, but for some reason this one has always been
Is it because we get it off for no real particular reason?
Well, no, it's actually the opposite. It's because you get the day off specifically because you get the day off. That's the reason.
Sure.
The reason you get the day off is because you get the day off.
But it's funny because a lot of places just don't do it anymore.
Well, retail has great sales.
Yes.
Great deals.
Yeah.
It does feel like you're stealing a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's a real anti-establishment type thing. And it's also like school starts, but like...
Then like 4 days later.
Right, here's an extra free day just to ease you back into it. I guess that was always my association with it. Mm. But today...
Well, it's like that whole thing with like the fall semester of schools is always like, there's a lot of days where I'm taking off here. Don't tell anybody. And then spring, it's like, nah. No. No, you're having all of them.
Yeah. You're finally going to fucking learn some shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. How many days of school were actually spent learning? It's less than 50%, I think, right?
Honestly, especially in college.
Oh, in college.
Because you get days off. Mm-hmm. If you're lucky, you get the teacher who's like, yeah, I just don't want to come in, so class is canceled. But then it's like a lot of tests, mm-hmm. a lot of in-class quizzes. Yeah, it's a lot of not learning.
Yeah.
Or learning on your own.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right, so not learning.
for most people.
Yeah. So happy Labor Day, but we are here doing labor, a labor of love, That is why this is a thing.
How long did you take to come up with that one?
Just now, dude.
Oh, dude. I felt like that seems like something you'd stay up all
like
night.
Like a fox.
2 years.
Yeah.
3 years? 2 years. I don't even fucking remember anymore.
Yeah, it was like labor of
pain.
No.
Got it!
No, he wrote it that first week and was just waiting for us to do a Labor Day.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, that's the reason you canceled yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You're like, we're doing it tomorrow.
He was like, I can't keep sitting on this joke.
I got a joke.
Yeah. Okay. Ba 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 ba. Okay. What?
Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage.
I'm gonna be straight with everybody before we get started.
Finally.
Hey.
Sorry, my dad's straight.
My dad is straight. It's fine.
Yeah. I'm
my best friend's straight. You're fine.
I'm gonna come out and say it.
Okay, now you're stretching.
Did not like this season of Game of Thrones.
Right.
For many reasons.
Right.
And I have a feeling, beyond the massive plot holes and inconsistencies mm-hmm. and just general shortcuts that this show took to get to a very unsatisfying conclusion, I spent this entire summer watching Game of Thrones as I watched 18 episodes of one of the great pieces of art I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
Okay? Twin Peaks The Return was an incredible transformative experience.
We're not talking about Twin Peaks.
No,
though.
We are though. But I am, goddammit. It's real to me. Twin Peaks.
Sometimes you just want to kill
him, right? I mean, we're like, yeah, let's get together. We'll talk about Game of Thrones. And he's like, all right, Twin Peaks.
All I want to do is talk Twin Peaks. Listen, Twin Peaks wrapped up last night. And it was the most confusing thing I've ever seen. And I don't know what the fuck happened. And it provided no closure whatsoever. And it ended in the most ambiguous ending. No, a more ambiguous ending since The Sopranos. A more ambiguous ending. No, it is the most ambiguous ending I've ever seen for anything, period. Bar none. Full stop. Yet, I was...
Yeah, he keeps talking.
Fucking emotional. Like, really emotional. I'm like, oh my God, I cannot believe what you are doing to me, David Lynch. And, like, you can tell, whoever was in charge of Showtime giving David Lynch this money to do this fucking weird-ass show that makes no sense to anybody that nobody is watching must have been like, all right, David, we're going to, like, end this in a satisfying way, right? And he's like, yeah, we could do that, but I'm David Lynch, so we're not going to do that. And I loved it so very, very much. And all I want you guys to do is watch it so we can share this experience together.
Okay.
Because that's all I've been thinking about for the last week. And I got to be honest with you, Game of Thrones has occupied 2% of my brain capacity over the last 2 weeks. I haven't thought about it like after 2 days.
Sure.
Okay. So I'm a little, I'm not going to give you much today. That's all I'm saying. And the reason for that is all of my pop culture power has been put towards Twin Peaks. And God damn it, if you have not watched Twin Peaks, watch Twin Peaks. I'm done.
Okay, great. So that was Game of Thrones. Thank you for listening.
Yes.
No.
Find us on Twitter.
Yeah. Right off the bat, if you haven't watched the new season of Game of Thrones, though, we're probably going to be a little spoilery. Actually, no, yeah, fuck it. I'm going to – the first sentence out of my mouth. Is going to be probably the – I mean, not really a spoiler, but the major spoiler of the season, quote unquote.
Okay.
So
– it's all spoilers.
Right. I mean, sure. Shut it off. Shut it off now.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Cool. Great. So,
hold on. We'll get your Oreos first.
Right.
Then shut it off.
Jon Snow is Aegon Targaryen. Okay.
Okay.
Yes. Not a surprise. Everybody knew it. Sort of. Right.
I mean, there's a lot of people who I. Who the fuck is.
I don't want to get into the problems with the show yet. I want to just talk about what happened. There were problems with the show.
Sure.
I agree with you, Nico.
Yeah.
But.
Okay.
Let's focus on what happened.
You say the sentence Jon Snow is Aegon Targaryen.
Right.
And what Nico DiGregorio says is, who the fuck cares that Jon Snow is Aegon Targaryen?
Yeah.
Because, Nick, who is Aegon Targaryen?
Exactly.
Okay.
So this is one of the things to me that was an interesting little change. They're not going to do that in the book. I don't think. I really don't think so.
That they're going to make him Aegon? Or
I don't think they're going to name him Aegon specifically in the book. I think he will be a Targaryen.
Yeah, just not...
I'm not even sure if they want to go there because there's a character in the books named Aegon Targaryen.
Okay. This was my impression of things.
This is where I want to go.
Well, yeah,
with that.
Well, yeah, no, wasn't that like Rhaegar's first son or something like that?
Well, no, Rhaegar has one son named Aegar Targaryen. That's it. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Okay, pause. I've done some wikiing over the last 2 weeks. This is what I found. And you correct me if I'm wrong here. My impression is this. In book world, there is a character named Aegon Targaryen who Tyrion runs into it, correct. I believe, at some point in time.
You remember this? You remember the plot line where Tyrion meets with Ser Jorah and they're traveling in Essos?
Yeah.
And Ser Jorah contracts the disease, the stone thing.
Grayscale.
Grayscale.
Well, I thought he always had that.
No. He contracts it from the grayscale people who
attack. From the stone men, because they go through Valyria. The city of Valyria. Remember that? Valyria?
No, I know they did. I just always thought that
that's where he contracted it. Oh, okay. That's where he contracted it. Mm-hmm. So, plot line was... Jorah was not there in that plot line.
Okay.
Jorah was with Tyrion at one point, lost him, and then Tyrion met up with two characters. I think it was Ser Griffin and who is Rhaegar's best friend back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And who we are come to find is Aegon Targaryen, who Griffin has been taking care of and raising, sort of Alexander the Great style, to be some sort of leader. That's the idea. General premise, right? I think in the show they just said we're gonna wipe that character and make Jon that character.
Okay, right. Now that this was my impression because I you had filled me in on who Aegon was previously, and I thought the name sounded familiar. However. Aegon is the actual son of Rhaegar and his bitch, whoever that was, not Lyanna, right? Who is Aegon? Who is Aegon's mother?
Well, yeah. So, I know what you're saying. Elia. Elia.
Martell.
Martell.
Okay. Right.
I don't know if you would name two sons because do they ever actually say in the show that Elia Martell's son?
This is the thing. I have not found evidence that this was ever said on the show. But what I have read online after the fact is that Aegon Targaryen is the son of Elia Martell and Rhaegar.
Sure.
And then he was supposed to be the rightful heir to the throne. He was supposed to be the prince that was promised, whatever, yada, yada, yada. Something happens to him along the line. I believe he is killed at birth, if I remember correctly.
Well, the mountain squashes his head like a little tomato.
Ah, now when Cersei
okay.
When Cersei is getting rid of all of the competition, all of Robert's
this
bastards.
This is during Robert's rebellion.
Oh.
The mountain supposedly came in, killed Elia Martell, remember?
Right.
Yes.
And squashed the baby's head like a little tomato.
Okay.
Supposedly in the books, Varys switched the babies. So it was a different baby.
Oh,
supposedly in the books, Varys switched the babies.
Got it. Okay. But in the show, the canon for the show is that they did not switch the babies. But that event did happen. See,
but do we know that that baby that was killed by the mountain was named Aegon? Or was it just some other baby?
Well,
and that's the part where it gets kind of fuzzy.
Yeah.
What we do know is that the baby that was swapped out cannot be Jon.
Period.
That's what we know.
We know that for a fact.
We know that for a fact.
And I'm not saying, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying just the name of a character, Aegon Targaryen. I think they just got rid of that character and said, well, let's just throw that name at Jon because it's fun.
Yes, but the implications of who they are is very different, though.
Correct.
See, you think that they can sort of do this, that they can make this work, and I'm sure that they can. I'm sure they have a plan for this. You just have to answer a few questions for me, though.
Okay. Sure.
So, Aegon, in the canon of the show right now, we are to assume that this son, Aegon, was killed by the mountain as a young child.
Whether his name was Aegon or not, though, we don't know.
Well, but,
now, but yes. Yeah,
we also know that Rhaegar eloped with Lyanna Stark.
Correct.
They had a child. That child's name was Aegon Targaryen, and he became Jon Snow once Ned took him in as his own.
Yes.
Now, these are two completely different arcs in terms of the book versus the show, right? In the books, the implication is that Aegon is the rightful heir to the Iron Throne. Correct?
Yes.
Okay?
Exactly.
Right? That is the book assumption. This character has been introduced, and he is, for whatever reason, is going to be at odds, we assume, with Dany at some point in time. Right, and has a greater stake. In the show, we know that Jon Snow is the rightful heir to the throne, and that's going to present its own conflict somewhere down the line. That means that we're heading towards a very different ending in the book and in the show.
I think so, and I think that's
right?
going to happen.
Because Jon's arc now, Jon has an arc in the show.
Now,
Or in the books, rather. That is very different from his arc in the show.
Not necessarily.
Why?
I don't think... I mean, are you implying that he isn't the son of Rhaegar?
No, I'm... In the book? No, he is. But if there's another son somewhere...
Well, so I've... even reading the book, I've kind of gotten a feeling, based on the personality of this Sir Griffin,
mm-hmm.
who supposedly was Rhaegar's best friend and took care of the son in Essos and raised him. And by the way, raised him with the Golden Army, I think it is, or the paid
Golden
mercenary.
Company.
Golden Company,
the
paid...
worst name for any
anything,
any
ever.
Militia
the paid,
ever.
The paid the mercenaries.
Yeah.
Yes,
he actually was the leader of the paid mercenaries.
Okay,
Griffin,
and raised Aegon under a different name uh-huh. in that. So he's training him, right?
Right.
I've had a theory though, sort of, and I feel other people probably got the same feeling from Griffin's personality that it's very possible that this child is not Aegon Targaryen, and
he was just saying
made
it
up. Because okay. he wants to get revenge, I guess, in a way.
Sure.
He wants to avenge his friend.
Well, now that's something.
And I don't, but we don't know. It's not confirmed one way or the other
right.
yet.
But that's
right.
That's an easy
and
thing
Sir
to
Griffin,
brush under the rug, though, now. That's
yeah.
an easy thing you can
and
just
Sir
cut
Griffin,
out of the show.
Actually, in the books, just, you know, he's the one who gets grayscale.
Mm-hmm.
So uh-huh. they reveal that right at the end of his arc there, that he pulls up his arm and he has grayscale, and it kind of is like he only has a little bit more time to get this done.
Yeah. yeah.
You know?
Okay.
That seems to, and I don't think they're going to save him like they did with Jorah. I don't think that's going to happen.
Right. That makes that whole Jorah thing sound a little odd, because clearly they gave him grayscale for a reason in the books, and Jorah seemingly didn't get grayscale for any reason other than just it's a redemption arc. Like, he has to go away and get better and come back.
And
to
come
save
back,
his queen.
Yeah. And like, and they needed to show that Sam was going to.
Right. In the books, she just kicked him out from anger.
Right.
And
which she does in the show as
and
well.
And she hasn't seen him again, though, since.
Okay. Yeah, but. Whereas, oh, right.
In the show, he comes back, mm-hmm. and she forgives him mm-hmm. and says, go get cured.
Well, so is... Oh, okay, never mind. Ignore me. Never
so mind. Jorah never brings Tyrion to see Dany.
He tries to, and Tyrion escapes, sort of.
Right. But Tyrion has yet to meet Dany in the books.
Correct.
That's a crazy thing.
Yeah.
Except
that's
that
insane.
He did arrive at Meereen, and he saw her.
Okay.
But like,
they
never, they
didn't meet officially, 100% meet.
Okay.
I think he was even in the Colosseum while she was sitting in the Colosseum, and he was forced to fight or something.
Okay.
Like, it's a whole weird thing.
So where is the line of when it becomes super drastically different?
Well,
like,
I mean...
You know what I mean?
Like, in the show? At what point did it...
Between the books and the show...
I think season 5, it really diverged.
Sure.
Okay.
Strongly.
Sure.
Okay.
Yes, because that's when they started cutting out... I mean, Lady Stoneheart was supposed to be a thing that was cut out.
Well, and we don't even know how relevant she is, really, in the books.
Well, it doesn't seem like it's that much.
Not in the show at all.
Right, certainly not.
Yeah.
Okay, so I return to this larger question of this. So some things were combined, some things were cut up and spliced together and
which I think they do a relatively good job with, by the way. Cutting and splicing, they do a relatively good job.
Lately, not so much, but at first, yes.
Well, no, even, I think really the only issue with this season was primarily the timing issue.
Okay.
Just the rush. It was rush.
What it felt like is, like, we were playing...
And a little fan servicey at the last episode, which we'll get into.
It felt like you were playing a shitty video game with a way too short campaign. So it's like, so it's like, oh, yeah, oh, you have to go do this. Why? Just do it.
Well, I mean, I like to think of it like I guess at this point in Skyrim, I would be able to fast travel. So I guess it makes sense that they're just teleporting everywhere.
Okay, yeah. Well, if it makes you feel better.
Well, right? No, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, are they just hitting A and paying $500? Like, what?
You know, it's just, okay, I'm here now.
The larger question, though, is, does it matter that Jon is Aegon? And do we care that Jon is Aegon?
Specifically Aegon?
Specifically Aegon Targaryen, and not just the son of Rhaegar Targaryen.
Right, and that's what I'm trying to figure out why they brought up the name.
Right.
Why bring it up at all? Why is it relevant?
Well,
I think if they...
Why couldn't it just be Jon Targaryen?
Sure.
Yeah, I think if they were trying to make it relevant, then sure, maybe name him Aegon. But if it was just like, oh, hey, you know, he's the heir... Why name him that? So there's got to be something that's going to come up from it.
I'm curious if it's just sort of an homage to the books to get people like excited and stuff. Or
maybe.
If it's just there so the show is different from what everybody already knew. Do you know what I mean? Because everyone already knew Jon was a Targaryen. So I guess by giving him a new name, it's like, here's a little something.
Right. That's okay. This is another larger problem with the show, too, is the fact that we have been teased with this now for years and years and years.
But people and have known people since day one.
Have known. And now we're waiting for this revelation that everybody knew about. And I can't help but shrug my shoulders. And every Game of Thrones fan in my life and everybody that's read the books has been like, oh my God, we've been waiting so long for this. Okay, great, man. Like, cool.
I'm going to be honest. Like, I think the show would have been better if we never found out. Leave it ambiguous. Right, that was my thought process. Never even confirm it. Like, I mean, they've given enough information so that we know it's true.
Right.
Yeah.
But just don't, but ever don't confirm it. Because it almost, like, ruins it.
As a matter of fact, one of my favorite moments of the season is when Sam and Gilly were having that conversation.
Yes, exactly.
At the library.
And Sam just says, like, no, or, fuck you, basically.
Yeah, Gilly just reveals that Lyanna and Rhaegar were married officially.
Right.
And the way they did that is sort of infuriating, as it is, because
I thought it was really cool.
Annoying, but it was cool because it's just enough information for you to connect everything.
Right.
And then they just put it in the background, and then that was it until the last episode.
It would be nice if Game of Thrones sometimes was aware of the fact that everybody is reading Reddit threads about the new episode.
I think they are aware. Everybody's
reading blogs. Well, okay. If they were aware, I don't think there would be a line in the final episode of the season where the main character who can see all of space and time says, he is the rightful heir to the throne. He is the prince that was promised. Like, you don't have to say that.
Yeah.
Like, you can lightly imply that. But the fact that they teased out this reveal now for two seasons, they gave us a little bit of it in the season finale last year. Mm-hmm. It was this big moment where, like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, Jon's a Targaryen. To then make us wait another 7 episodes and in real time another year and a half for this reveal that everybody saw coming. What, to me, that ruins something that's very special about the show, and that was always what I valued about it the most, is that it was unpredictable and unafraid to take chances and unafraid to shock and surprise its readers and viewers.
And we're also at a point now where they're not really going to kill anybody off.
Right. No, they seem afraid.
Almost to a degree. Like, yeah. They're like, we can't kill these characters off. They're fan favorites. And it's like, well, come on.
But I don't want them to kill anybody off for nonsense.
Not just to
kill them off. If it...
But what I don't like is...
the plot go on, like at the Red Wedding when there was...
Right, but what I don't like is saving them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because of that same reason.
Sure. Yeah. No, I want to be surprised. And I don't care... Surprise doesn't have to come in the form of crushing someone's head and cutting their heads off. That's not what I need. All I want is for the characters to do something, for the show to go in a direction that I don't see coming, because that's what I've always loved about the show. I don't remember the last moment where I... Probably the last time was the Mountain versus the Viper, where I'm sitting on the couch and I'm watching the episode and I am stunned at what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
And I am emotionally shook by what I just saw. Yeah. Like, Battle at Hardhome was really cool. I can't call that necessarily surprising.
Yeah.
Liked the Battle of the Bastards. Liked when they blew up the Citadel. I mean, this stuff was all... Or not the Citadel. They blew up the church in King's Landing, essentially.
The Sept
in King's Landing. Yes. Like, that was cool. Does not reach any of the of those moments like the Red Wedding, like the Purple Wedding, like the Mount versus the Viper. Not to say that I want violence for the sake of violence, not to say that I want to just be shocked and emotionally gutted, but like, I don't know, make me feel something, and I'm not feeling anything.
How about the reveal, specifically the way it was done?
I thought it was ridiculous.
You have Bran and Sam Tarly meeting up, and they haven't seen each other in years or whatever, and they saved each other or whatever.
Right.
And then the first thing they talk about is Jon.
Yes.
And meanwhile, they're revealing the facts they know and laying it all out while Jon and Daenerys are having sex.
Yes.
While Tyrion is, like, practically watching.
So, I thought that scene was hot, but that's because I find both of those people hot.
Real quick, okay, actually, we can take a few minutes on this.
Yes.
Jon's ass. Incredible.
Great ass.
Incredible.
It's a great ass.
Really good ass.
It's a Hall of Fame ass. And I say this again, with a staunch record of heterosexuality.
Right.
Amazing.
Yeah.
A record of 0-0. Staunch record. No, I gotta say, though, like... not gay here, you know, even if I was. My dad's gay, it's fine.
Absolutely.
Of course.
John, not really overly attractive, but that ass.
It's a great ass.
Great ass.
Could be better than Danny's ass, as a matter of fact.
It is better than Danny's ass.
I think it is. Danny's ass is a little misshapen at times.
Yeah.
It's a little, you know, it's the proportions aren't exactly what I want them to be sometimes.
She's a little too short almost. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's sort of the stocky figure.
A little squat.
Not to turn this into, you know...
Women are ugly, guys.
Ew, girls, gross.
Not just
no, she was hot, though. She was hot. It was great.
She's no longer the hottest on the show, but that's okay.
Who's the hottest now?
Guys, Masande's perfect.
Masande, really?
Masande's
perfect. I don't know about that.
Masande's perfect.
I don't know about that.
No,
guys.
No.
There was only one better, really.
It's over.
Marjorie.
No, Masande's the hottest she's ever been.
It was Marjorie, then Danny.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Masande's the hottest one.
No.
How?
Period.
Have you seen what she looks like for real?
What do you mean, how? Yeah, saw her in Fast 7. Or Furious 7. And it's been a long day without you, my friend. That's what I felt about Masande. I want more. No. I want more Masande in my life. She's, guys, perfect body, perfect face. This is really turning into locker room talk, and I apologize. You know, grab him by the pussy. But, like, I'm really into the mixed.
I mean, it's fine.
No, it's fine, yeah.
I like the mixed.
No, like, we're not saying she isn't gorgeous, because she is.
She's drop dead stunning, and Danny used to be the love of my life. Amelia Clark used to be the love of my life. I'm over her.
No, I mean she's great. Yeah, that's not the point.
And by the
way,
Amelia Clark's performance has not helped this season. Can I just say that?
No. Oh well, she's not. You mean acting specifically?
Yes, it's not helped. It's been pretty one dimensional and pretty flat.
She's not a good character.
No,
I don't even think it's I don't even think it's Amelia Clark necessarily.
Sure.
Because I think Amelia Clark's a good actress.
Daenerys is not a good character. I've never liked Daenerys. Yeah. I can say that right now. Okay.
Oh, hold on. What were we saying? Were we
talking about the sex scene.
Yeah. Oh, we're talking about the scene. Yes.
John's butt.
Right.
That's what you guys were talking
about. Go ahead.
The reveal. Mm-hmm. A little creepy, a little weird. Bran says he can see everything everywhere.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure he's watching, right? Mm-hmm. And Tyrion's right outside the door. And he sees John walk in, right?
Correct. And he's watching with angst.
Right.
With a little fire in his eyes.
Let's talk about this, actually.
Sure.
Let's get into this here.
Yes.
Tyrion's expression.
Right.
When he sees Jon walk in.
Correct.
Go.
Yeah. So, I thought, like most people, I'm queuing you up. You ready?
Yeah.
The alley-oop's coming your way.
Yep.
Okay? All right. So, I thought...
We did talk about that.
Right. I mean, I have thoughts on it, but I feel like I'm not as developed on it.
Right. So, I thought, like everybody... Mm-hmm. If you're a man and you're around Dany Targaryen, you fall in love with Dany Targaryen.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. Yeah. Like, she's beautiful, she's powerful, she's everything. And so I figured Tyrion had just got the hots for Dany and was feeling a little bit of jealousy.
As did I think most people.
Really?
Yes.
That is not what I thought.
So that was my initial reading of it, and I started talking to people about it, and most people, I think... I guess it made sense, but it certainly was not well developed on the show, and they did not sort of leave the groundwork in place for that revelation. And then I talked to Zach, and Zach presented me with a theory, and I really liked the theory, and the theory actually made me like the finale like five times more than I did, which was not that much. So, the theory, sir.
So, I like everyone else, I thought he was just jealous because he was in love with Danny, you know? As we said, most people would be. But I came across a theory saying that the fact that when Tyrion went to go see Cersei, and they cut away when he says, "Oh, you're pregnant," right? And that we don't know the end or how he convinced her to make the alliance with Dany. The theory says that he knows that Dany can't have children, or that Dany claims they can't have children and all this stuff. And he said... Because they hinted at, well, what's going to happen after...
Right, when they spent a lot of time talking about heirs.
About heirs and about Dany's legacy after she wins.
Right.
Which was one of the great scenes of the season, by the way. I absolutely loved that scene.
Yeah.
Where they're talking about succession and she's getting all mad at him. I thought it was great.
Yeah. So the theory states that in order to convince Cersei to go to make that alliance with Dany, he said, well, Dany can't have kids. Dany only wants power. She's not really interested in other things from what he's seen. And that he promised Cersei... Her child will take the throne after Dany.
Because the editing in that scene is very particular.
Yes.
He says, you're pregnant. She gives him a look. That is the last part of the conversation.
And then the next scene is them coming back into the dragon... Not dragon keep. What do they call it?
The dragon den or whatever it is.
Or whatever it was.
Right.
Pit. Dragon pit.
Dragon pit.
So...
Fascinating.
And so the theory is that he wasn't... the look on his face wasn't jealousy, but an oh shit look, saying like, oh shit, well, that's
gonna be... At no point did I think it was jealousy, to be honest.
Okay.
Really?
Not even because I don't think that Tyrion maybe has feelings for Daenerys, but I don't think that... I don't think that that would be his primary thought.
It would be a weird direction for the show to take.
Because
yeah, no, it
because would be a little he knows basic. That he has no shot. Like, yeah. To a degree, honestly.
Well, so do most of the men in her life, but
right.
It's neither here nor there.
But, I mean, like, he knows...
I mean, hell,
not
one
only,
of them she sent away twice.
Not right. Only that he has... not only that he has no shot, but I think that it's not his place. I think he gets that.
Sure.
Right? That's yeah. Not his job. It's not his role. That's right. Not what he... Even,
like, he's only there to advise her, and right. Like, that's what he's going to do, and that's it.
I specifically thought it was an oh shit moment. That's right. That's all, like, he was worried. But I couldn't quite figure out why.
Yes.
Specifically.
So I thought the scene with Cersei, which I thought was the best scene in the finale.
Phenomenal.
Absolutely loved
Cersei,
both of them.
By the way, continues to be the only character who surprises.
Yes.
Really.
No, she continues to be the best character on the show.
Everything else is predictable.
I have been
to an extent, you know.
Yeah, not, no, you're 100%
right. Not the hows, but the end is predictable for
even
for
the
a lot
house,
of things.
Frankly.
I have been on Cersei Island since season one. I've always loved Cersei. I've never wavered on my love of Cersei just because I find her so fucking fascinating, and she's the best part of the show, in my opinion. But that scene, they were so particular in talking about, you want to destroy the family. And Tyrion insists, I do not want to destroy our family. I want.
In fact, he said, I love our family.
I love our family. Like, I want to live in a better world, right? This is a guy that feels very conflicted about killing his brother and sister and ending his family name, right? This seems like a pretty reasonable promise to make for him.
Also one that he knows that he can't keep.
Perhaps.
There's no way that... Daenerys would, I mean, maybe in his mind he thinks maybe I can convince her. But,
maybe.
But there's no way.
Maybe. But when that does finally happen, it because you do see the look, the expression is very much like, oh God, what are we going to get ourselves into now?
Yeah.
He was sort of banking on the fact that she would, you know, just stay celibate for the rest of her life, and she has not. And that could lead to problems. So I think that is the best theory that I have seen so far, and I think it does give a whole new context to the whole Lannister dynamic and what's going to come over the next six episodes. So that I really appreciated. Kind of wish they laid that groundwork, though, in every other area of the show.
Yeah.
I found the rest of it to be totally forced and totally ridiculous. And that scene at the end, although I was a big fan of John's ass and a big fan of Danny's side boob, was all into it, was all into that aunt-nephew action, was great.
Sure.
Like, the Bran and Sam conversation was just exposition theater.
It was exposition, but I
did not need it.
I think it would have been, if they kept sort of the voiceover and toned it down a little bit, I think the reason that was so bad was because it was Danny and John, and then they would show Bran talking by a fireplace, and then impose it with scenes from the wedding.
Right.
And then her giving birth, and it was the mixture of everything.
Wouldn't it just be much better if they were just Bran and Sam were talking? And can Bran show people his visions in any way?
Do we possibly.
Know that? I mean, it'd be kind of cool if he could. It would just be a lot easier for him to just kind of show Sam something. We don't even know what. And he just goes, now you know the truth. And just boom, done. That's all you need. Sure. No exposition.
Better than this.
Leave
absolutely.
It.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if we need to have that conversation.
Yes.
You know?
I'll tell you what, though. I want less on this show are scenes of Bran and Sam talking. I'd like less of that because I hate both of them with a fiery passion.
You hate Sam?
I've hated Sam for a very long time.
Do you hate Sam?
I don't hate Sam, but he has no good role. He's just kind of there. I mean, they even John is like, go here.
Yes.
Like,
Sam and Gilly have always been the weakest part of the show for me, but this season I have rekindled my fiery hatred for Bran. Bran is the fucking worst.
Oh, no. From the first episode, I wish Bran would have died after falling off.
I know. I wish Jaime just killed him when he had the
chance.
Like,
I know it's kind of a big part of the whole show.
Yeah, that's the issue.
That's the only issue. But I really wish that he died when falling off that tower.
The thing... This is... Now, Bran is one of those characters that I think is also going to be dramatically more vital in the book. And they...
In the book, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, he has... There are a lot of theories involving Bran, a lot of cool little things, but
I wouldn't say cool.
No, he is terribly boring.
Stupid.
Terribly dull. Terribly
right.
dull.
The
right.
only theory that I like of Bran is that, he's the Night King.
Well, that's one.
But
what's up with that theory, by the way? I haven't seen this over the last week.
Well, no, there's a few. There's him being the Night King.
Yeah.
There is the Mad King?
Mm-hmm.
There's a theory that Bran was
the one
that caused
right,
that.
Yeah,
you know, we all know about that.
What's this Night King theory? What's that based in?
So it's based on the fact that really the whole scene is sort of related to Hodor's death.
Okay.
Because it was back in time and he convinced
Hodor
to hold the door in the present, but in the past it severely affects him. Sure. Right? So the theory is that Bran went back and warged into one of the first men.
Okay.
Who then became over time the Night King, and it was the old three-eyed raven who said you can't stay in somebody for so long because it's more and more difficult to get back.
Uh-huh.
So the theory is that he went into the mind of the one of the first men, stayed too long, couldn't get back, and now he's immortal and that he became the Night King because the Night King was one of the first men. He was one of the first men, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the theory. It's very loose.
I think we need to come to terms with something, though. All these theories, it's great. It's a lot of fun.
They're fun. It's great.
It's great fun. The show is never as interesting as
the theories. No, it's not.
It's just, number one, there's only 6 episodes left, so the amount of fucking bombshell revelations that they can
draw. Unless they devote an entire...
I'll be very mad if they just spend all of the time just, like, debunking all these theories. Like, we don't need you... The fun of the theories is not knowing.
Right.
Don't reveal.
And we don't need a debunking. We just need something else to distract us from these theories.
I don't think it matters.
I just don't think that the creators of the show... I think their concerns are very different than the concerns of the viewers. And I just don't think that they care to, like, shock us with who the Night King is. I don't think they're really interested in
the
Night King.
The only way they would show us... The only way I would be sort of interested was if they didn't do the super long episodes and they devoted most of an episode into the Night King.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
But it's not happening, especially when they're not doing, what is it, like, close to 2 hours. Yes. It's going to be the new format, right? Mm-hmm.
Pretty close to it.
Yeah.
Listen, I would love nothing more than to get the Night King, to give the Night King a backstory and to feel like he's humanized a little bit, to actually empathize with his journey, and I'm all down for that.
Yeah.
I would love a humanized zombie, but that's not what the show is now.
No, it's not.
The show is, we're fighting for who gets to sit on the throne, and it's a political thriller, and okay, you stab me in the back, I stab you in the back, and then at the end of the day, the CGI zombie is going to come and destroy you all, and we have to defeat the CGI zombie with the power of magic and love, and we'll do it together, and that's it, man, and it's a fantasy show, and it's just a fantasy show, and it infuriates me that we're at this point, but this was sort of inevitable. Right?
Yeah.
The show was always destined to be less interesting in its final moments.
Yeah.
And yes, they butchered a lot of it, and yes, the logic of the last 7 episodes was absurd and infuriating, and you can rant about it till the cows come home.
Still the craziest plan ever.
Yes. But this political show, by the nature of the story, was always destined for this ending. And it kind of sucks, but we got to come to terms with the fact that you're not going to be that surprised over the next 6 hours. You're just going to see some cool battles. You're going to see some zombies burn down some shit. And I don't know, maybe someone will have a baby and someone will live happily ever after. And someone that you love is going to die. That's it.
Yeah.
That's Game of Thrones. And I think that's the revelation that I came to over the last 7 episodes that got me so upset was, man, this is really not as interesting as I thought it was going to be. And it's certainly not as interesting when George R.R. Martin is not at the helm of it. When you give two guys who are very good television producers and very good television writers and have done a very noble job over 6 years putting this story together, when you give them the keys, they're just going to give you fan service and they're just going to give you exactly what you want and exactly what we've all come to expect, because that is the destiny of this show.
The only way it would sort of redeem itself is if for the last season, George R.R. came back and...
He might will probably be involved in at least the last couple episodes, I think.
Yeah, but
he'll want to be there for it to wrap up.
And he has given his blessing to what we've seen. I mean,
he's greenlit it because they won it by him, and he was like, yeah, sure, that's fine, do it.
He has been involved in this, but he has also given them license to get off the reservation a little bit.
Yeah.
And
well, which you kind of have to, especially when the book series isn't done and they're wrapping up the show.
And it's so funny. We've had this conversation for years. Mm-hmm. We've been arguing about this because I've constantly made fun of this guy. Like, it's not as good as the source material. So, you know what?
I'd say that.
Yeah, it's exactly how you say it.
No, you say...
Isn't precisely how... It's in that voice, too, right? That sounds just like... Yeah.
You say
no,
that
no,
a
no.
Lot.
I've come to appreciate them both separately, but they're just different stories. Yes. I mean, I think around season 4 especially is where that kind of Mm-hmm. I came to that conclusion.
But you've always gotten mad at the fact that the show has not gone into certain plot lines.
Initially, I did. I actually liked some of the changes they made, though.
This past year, when I got into it, you stepped away from the whole, oh, they didn't do this, or they're not talking about this, and it's kind of annoying, to where you're like, okay, take the show as is.
And yeah, they're just different. And yeah. I mean, I've come to like certain things that they do in the show better than the books, in fact. But other things, maybe not so much. But there's also only so much you can do with 10 hours.
It's true. Yeah, exactly. And I've always been the guy that said that. Like, this is a different medium. There are different requirements for the story, and they have done a good job of picking their moments. This season, they did a very bad job of picking their moments.
I think the issue, again, was the 7 episodes. There was no reason.
What was they, up yeah, with well, that? And
we no said reason that. To do 7. We could have done 10.
If
we
they could have spaced it out over 10, A, they should have.
We could have.
And
easily.
It would have been less 500 gold coins to fast travel.
Sure.
The plans would have been a little bit more thorough.
No, it just would have made ridiculous. More sense.
And yeah.
The characters would have done things that had proper motivations behind them.
Yeah.
Like, they would have made decisions that reflected their characters.
It almost just really seems like that there was a lot more off-screen things happening.
You're just supposed to assume something happened and they don't want to talk about it.
That they suddenly feel this. Like, I mean,
maybe?
I didn't hate, I'm going to get into this a little bit here. I didn't hate the Sansa and Arya thing completely.
Let's talk about this.
I didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it completely.
But, like, it's almost like them planning and working together, like, they're... That was off screen, and the only reason it was off screen was to kind of give us a little ha ha. They were working together the whole time.
Yeah, yes. which that's
there's
one
no
of the...
reason for that. I mean, we could have done a lot more with maybe you have your aha moment that they're working together, but maybe it's not right when they're in the courtroom with Baelish. Maybe there's a little bit more back and forth between Baelish flexing his arms versus them.
It's a slap. Yeah.
A little
in
more
the face.
Struggle. No, a little more struggle.
It's
maybe.
A slap in the face to do with an audience that has followed you for 7 years and you've gotten to know these characters so well to still feel like you have to pull the rug from underneath them.
Especially when putting family against each other.
Yes.
In the house that
cheap.
Devotes family the most.
It was a cheap thrill. It would have been much more interesting to actually see these conversations and to watch the relationship grow and to watch them actually learn to love each other. And well, they do love each other, but to watch them work together and to get past their differences, that would have been way more interesting and fulfilling than what we saw.
Than seeing just Baelish being like, "Oh, hey, she's gonna kill you."
Just three scenes.
And then
it almost would have
like
been better
two scenes
if
later they're like, "Okay, well, fuck you, we're
well,
gonna
because,
kill you, Baelish."
Because they make Sansa and Arya both so strong.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And it would have been almost better if as soon as Jon left, Baelish really just took over.
Yeah,
that would have been better.
It didn't really feel like he was that much of a problem.
He wasn't doing... He was just like
he was veiled.
He was
like
a fly.
Was, yeah.
He was like a... Get out of here. Swat the fly
which
away.
Even when he was at King's Landing, he wasn't a fly.
No, he was
he
devious.
He was pulling strings.
Yeah, he was one of the reasons
everywhere.
Why their father died. It
yeah,
was 100%.
And at Winterfell, he was just like... He literally like made an offhand comment about Arya, and then Sansa was like, oh my god, she's gonna kill me. Like, it's...
That's true. I did love his death scene. I really did. I liked his performance, and I liked how everything sort of came together. What I appreciate about the show is they've laid such a rich tapestry over the last 6 years that a moment like that can be like, oh, right, he did do this, 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 and this, and now they're getting revenge for it, and all the pieces sort of coming together and watching these characters interact that have never met before or have this history. I think that's great. I love the deep roster that they have. But it did feel like he wasn't that much of a threat. And that is weird for a character that loomed so large on the show. To sort of go out with a whimper like that, it just didn't feel earned. Just felt like we have to get here, and let's get here with the least amount of work as possible.
And, you know, I think I've seen a particular show. I don't actually want to name the show because it's something that you guys haven't seen probably.
Okay.
But
it's a Death Note.
Yeah. No, but they're actually it kind of is similar to a point where not quite though, because Baelish was a lot less important than obviously the main character.
Sure.
In Death Note. But you sort of build this god complex over time, right?
Right.
And then at the end, he just like kind of dies like really pathetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
spoiler.
Yeah. But you're not gonna watch the second season anyways.
No, I'm not.
But
I thought about it after. I was like, he's not gonna watch that.
Yeah. But it's Baelish was led to how do I describe, was written in a way for us to believe that he really does have power.
And he's almost supposed to be like the equal of Varys.
Sure.
And he's not. Yeah, exactly. And he's not. And he's totally not. Right. Well, but
he's a little more than Varys these days. It'd be nice if Varys had a speaking line, then he could be the
that's
equal
true.
To
Varys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
no.
true.
Yeah. No, both of these characters, I feel, were totally, like,
I feel
cut
like
short.
A lot of people kind of get this feeling that it's supposed to be like a chess game between Varys and Baelish trying to pull all the strings
right.
and push their pieces around.
Right.
And, I mean, he's just, really,
I mean,
pathetic is the only word, though.
To a degree, it's not a chess, it's like, checkers. It's not a chess game between like Varys and Littlefinger where it's, oh, we're gonna pull these strings so you can't pull them, and then we're gonna cut off your ties. It's always just sort of in the background, like a friendly competition of who can get the most.
I wouldn't call
pull.
It friendly.
Well,
I don't know, but I don't know if I agree with you there. Actually, I mean,
yeah,
they're both pulling heavy strings.
Yes,
very devious.
The fate of the world is really at stake. I mean, they have selected kings and queens, and they are trying to ride them to the Iron Throne. That
yeah.
is the goal, right? And they're not going to let anything stand in their way.
Now,
but that threat should loom larger than it did in the finale. Is
yeah.
I think our point.
Yeah. And I think. Baelish did have some cool scenes, although he wasn't really at the crux of most of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, like, probably the only good scene of Bran all season was when Bran turned to Baelish and says, Chaos is a ladder.
Yeah.
That was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It was
awesome.
Cool.
The dagger,
no,
awesome.
Great, man. Great. But, like, if you have access to the entire Westeros Wikipedia page, like, you want to share this information a little earlier, you fucking idiot. Like,
that's
a good point.
He evidently has all of this, right? Like, when your sisters were threatening each other with knives and, like, ready to chop each other's heads off, maybe you step in and be like, hey, guys, let's all just get along. I have some info that I've been waiting to share with you. Like, just come out with it, you idiot. Like,
and then, you're right.
That's a problem.
A flaw with Bran.
It's a problem.
It's one of many flaws with Bran.
He also needs to know what information to look for, but, I mean, you'd think if he said Chaos is a ladder, you'd think he would know.
Yes!
Well, and you'd also
think that. And maybe
he
did. That's more off-screen things that we didn't see.
Well, and it's also one of those things where if you think you discover this power to, as he says, I know, I've seen the past, I see the future, I know the present, or some along those lines. You would think the first, if somebody tried murdering you with a dagger, you'd think the first thing you'd be like is be like, oh, who did it? Oh, Baelish. Fuck Baelish.
Fuck that guy. I hope I don't see him when I get home. Oh, shit.
Yeah, like, it's...
Right. And, now, there was a moment where Baelish almost seemed like he was back in the game, right? You remember? When Arya was searching through his room, finds him out, and then suddenly he's peeking out from the shadows.
Right.
And you're like, oh, he planned that. I mean, that was kind of cool. And then just, he dies.
Yeah, no.
Great.
In hindsight, none of it was cool because it was all smoke and mirrors.
Yes.
It was just playing games with the audience and just taking them down roads that were never going to be fulfilling and making these characters do things that are not true to themselves whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, I never bought for a second what was going on with Sansa and Arya.
No.
And
oh, God, no.
I didn't either,
It was,
I even told you as much the next day.
I thought if anything would have happened, Arya would have just left Winterfell. Like, I didn't think nothing physical was going to take place or whatever, you know. But...
That scene was one of two things. It was either you are trying to trick me and you are doing something to actively trick me as a viewer of your program.
Yeah.
Or this just makes no sense. You're taking a lot of shortcuts and you've ruined 6 seasons of storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And neither one am I okay with.
Yeah,
right?
No.
It just, like, give these characters reasons to do what they do. That's all I want. It's the exact same thing with this idiotic fucking plan to go over the wall and to get this zombie hostage. I will never get over how dumb this plan was. It's one of the stupidest plot lines in the history of television. It makes no sense. It makes even less sense considering that Tyrion was the one that came up with it.
Well,
the way that it was come up with was so stiff and ridiculous.
But at the
and
end
absurd.
Of it all, too, the worst part is at the end of the all. At the end of it all, it didn't even. Really
it didn't
work.
Even work.
It didn't work.
Yes.
Yeah.
It
right.
did That's- not even work. And he should have known that it was not going to work because you know your sister, dude, and she is not someone to be reasoned with. She
he
is should a have crazy
known it wasn't
going to
work, especially when
Granted.
They invaded Casterly Rock, and it turns out, I mean, it was Jaime's plan, but when it was like, oh shit, they know better.
Mm-hmm.
They are smarter now. That's
well,
not good.
Well, really, it's just they're smart enough to know that Tyrion's smart.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Right. But one thing, I think I told you this, I discussed this with you, my thought on the plan to a degree, not so much the plan to go north and fetch this thing, but when Tyrion said, you know, Cersei needs to see the dead in order to be reasoned with or whatever, I think really Tyrion's plan was to get Daenerys to see the dead, so she would understand what Jon is talking about, because I think Tyrion knew that John isn't full of shit.
Yeah.
So I think really his plan wasn't to convince Cersei. His plan was to convince Dany. And I think he succeeded in that.
Well, here's
still ridiculous.
Here's the problem with that. Dany didn't see the dead when she decided to take her three dragons and go up north to save John.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? She didn't see shit. She just got a raven. She was like, okay, now I'm going to go save the day. Because Deus Ex Machina time.
And
that's all it was.
And she hadn't seen the dead when she let John mine the dragon glass to use against the dead.
Right.
And
I still do think that.
Or when she sent all of her closest advisors to go and fight the dead.
Well, yeah.
Like, she sent Jorah up there to go and die to get this one
thing. Like, she didn't have to
see
to know that, okay, there's no reason this guy is saying.
But if you think about it, she really didn't fully trust John until after she saved him and saw.
Well, no, that
actually saw what.
Why
happened.
Not just take the dragon over there in the first place?
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
That's
like, if
the
she
issue.
Was gonna
though.
Do that, it was so ridiculous how they did it.
Like, I'm not saying the plan itself wasn't ridiculous. I'm just saying Tyrion's thought process. That's what
you're
I'm
saying.
Into.
You're saying what we saw was just a little bit different from what Tyrion was.
Perhaps.
From
no,
what...
I think the plan was fucking stupid.
Yeah.
It was stupid. Yeah. But I think. When Tyrion was saying Cersei needs to see the dead, I think he was really saying Daenerys needs to see the dead, but I can't say that to her because she's the queen.
And then Daenerys will go talk to Cersei and everything. Okay.
Well, no, I don't think...
Or just in
general... I don't know why they talked to Cersei. It was a dumb plan. That was another dumb plan.
Yeah. Yes. Ultimately, Dany, though, did not need to see the dead. She just did things for the sake of doing things. Again, no motivation whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's just, there's so many holes in that whole episode. That episode was just absurd.
I'm curious to see where the books are going to go on it. I am. Because I'm wondering if they're going to redeem some of it or if it's just going to be that flimsy.
Same again. Well, I don't think... I think it will redeem itself because, again, it's George R. R. writing him. It's not...
Yeah, but he's not... I don't think he's that great of a writer. People give him a lot of...
I don't think he's, like, this amazing... I think he's a really good writer.
I can't imagine he would be satisfied with this ending to his books. This
exactly.
This season felt stylistically not him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In the choices that were made, it just felt very flat and one-dimensional and not George. And so I gotta hope. And listen, I think this is, in a way, very good for George because... Now it's like I get to finish the story in the way that everybody wants to see it finished.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, it's like there is more to be told. I think the thought coming into the season was these guys have hijacked his story, totally taken it over, and now he's basically irrelevant. I don't think he's irrelevant anymore.
No.
I think people are going to be waiting with bated breath to see what comes next.
Yeah, I think at this point he doesn't have to focus on how it's going to end. He just needs to focus on developing the story to end.
Yes,
and
it's
put
why
all
is it ending this
there.
Way?
Yeah.
Yes. All we've seen here is, all right, we have 13 episodes, and we have to get these characters to a point where they're all working together to defeat the CGI villain at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Right? And what's the easiest way that we can get there in 7 episodes? Zombie hostages and ridiculous meetings with all of our main characters in the same room and even more ridiculous alliances and just ignoring every motivation of every character on the show. It's just absurd. I'm sorry. It's ridiculous, ridiculous, ridiculous. Why not just take the fucking dragon and go to the fucking castle and burn down the fucking castle and kill Cersei and we're done? Right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Now that we're all on the same page there. It's funny. This is the one note that I had after watching the finale. And tell me if you agree. As big as this show has gotten and as sprawling as the story has gotten and all the cool things that we've seen on screen, I mean, the fucking season ended with a zombie dragon burning down a magical wall.
With magic blue fire.
Yeah.
that's the...
Like, if you had told me that's where the show was going back in season 2, like, I would have
like,
been...
Yeah, okay, sure.
No, but... I would have been... But I would have been juiced. I'm like, oh my god,
yeah.
Let's fucking do it. It's amazing. The stuff that still gets me going is Cersei and Tyrion and Jaime in a room together talking.
Yeah.
They're just the best characters. The show is better when it's about the Lannisters.
Even just the passing conversation that they have, like when Jaime came out of Cersei's office, I don't know what,
yes.
war room, I don't know, study. When Jaime came out and had that, what, like 2 minute, not even conversation with Tyrion,
mm-hmm.
that was gold.
Yes.
Like, it was
Lannisters
amazing.
Gold.
Yeah. It's dynamite. It
yeah.
Just,
I 100% agree with you. I mean, the Starks are boring and dull.
Mm-hmm.
All of them.
Sure.
Even Jon, my favorite character. Dull.
Yes.
I mean, it's not... For Jon, Jon's the one who it's like not about... It's about what he does. It's not about how he does it necessarily.
My issue with Jon, and you know me...
He should be dead.
I've never liked...
10 times.
I've never liked Jon. Like,
right.
I don't hide. I've never liked Jon.
I'm not even upset when people say that anymore.
No, because from what I see, Jon has one of two things.
Yeah.
One, a great ass.
Great ass.
Okay, one of three things. No, he either broods.
Yeah, he broods or well. Or
whines.
He does brood well.
Yes, he's a, yeah, he's no, he does.
He's a great brooder. Brooder.
But when, but if it's, but if.
Pause. I just want to point something out. This is going to shock you.
Oh, boy.
I'm writing a screenplay.
Yeah.
The word brooder appeared in my screenplay.
Did it? Does it really?
I just want to say that. Keep going.
Okay.
Not sure it's a real word, but just want to say that. Go
yeah.
ahead.
Yeah, but so... so
one who broods.
Yeah, one who broods. Yeah.
So I feel like John, he complains and whines about something, then when he doesn't get his way, he broods until somebody's like, oh my God, fine.
I
just like it's...
I don't think he whines as much. I mean, I think Daenerys whines more than anyone else, if you're going to get into that.
They're both kind of whining.
No, they're both whining. Pretty.
They're both kind of divas.
Yeah.
Which... And, you know, episode 4 was my favorite episode of this whole season, as I believe it was.
Well, yeah,
which one was 4?
A lot of things happened, but specifically
the
scene.
The dragons and they burn the. Okay,
battle,
yeah, yeah.
The big battle.
He's
yeah,
also
yeah.
talking about the scene, I think, where Jon shows her the cave.
Well.
If you like that scene.
Well, I love when Jon's in a cave.
Yeah, Jon.
That cave game is strong, dude. That dude goes to work in a
real
fucking
hot
cave.
In the dark, yeah. That guy.
Ladies man, oh just... man, just stay away from fucking caves, man. Keep John out of Yosemite. anyway.
Spelunking.
Yeah.
Spelunking inside the Dragon Queen.
Oh, God.
I'm talking about that final battle, though, and the idea that I found sort of interesting, and it really just hit me for the first time in that episode, was Danny and John... And to a certain extent, the other sort of larger-than-life Cersei, too. These characters are sort of symbols in this story. They're sort of larger-than-life, mm-hmm. and they have been mythologized. Is that a right? Is that a word? Mythologized?
Sure.
For...
Mythologized.
Vehemently?
Yeah, vehemently. They're...
Genuinely.
Sure. They, stories have been told about them, and they've been hyped up so much, and they have all of these advisors and these this posse of very smart people around them, guiding them. They're almost not real.
Yeah.
It's the ice and it's the fire. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is the wolf, it is the dragon. They are symbolic. And to see the characters around them sort of interact and have to deal with their presence on the show is very interesting. When you watch that battle, Dany is the one that sort of, she is the catalyst for all of the death and ruin. But it's never from her point of view.
Yeah.
They never shoot it from her point of view. There's a few shots
right. I love
above
that scene.
The dragon. But really, you don't see her talk. You don't see what she's thinking. When she's in peril, you actually see her falling from a distance. You don't actually see it close up from a point
of view
shot.
Well, yeah, and it's one of those things where even in like World War II movies, mm-hmm. where every time the Germans fly over, it's like just the planes from off the ground.
Right.
Like it's never...
It's because she is the foreign invader.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
In this scene.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So nobody. It's.
It's what I love about war movies. It's what I love about Dunkirk to a certain extent. Not to get too far off track. But I like when you can take someone that's not even in the battle and make them their point of view character because you are the audience. You are watching this stuff go on. Let's view it like an audience member. I don't really care that much to be in the middle of hand-to-hand combat. Like, I really don't care if I'm seeing, Hacksaw Ridge. I don't care if people are blowing up and legs are falling off. Like, I want to feel the emotions of the scene. I don't need to be thrilled.
Yeah.
And that's what I loved about the scene so much. It was all from Tyrion's point of view. He was Jaime as well, but mostly Tyrion on the hilltop being like, oh my God, I am killing people that I have fought side to side with.
Yeah.
You know, I have, you know, I'm there as my brother is in peril. Just flee, you fucking idiot. Flee. Don't
yeah,
be an
like,
idiot.
Don't Stop do it.
Stupid.
Don't do it. Yeah.
He is rooting for a guy on the other side of the battle, right? And he is viewing Dany's wrath and her rage and the horror that she causes. That's really dope to me. And the idea of
I'm
Dany,
getting chills just talking about it right now. Like it
the
was
idea
incredible.
Of Dany as the foreign invader is and as this mm-hmm. force that you have to deal with, as unpredictable as she can be, is really interesting. To see her as the conflicted main point of view character is just not interesting. And I think they lost sight of that a little bit towards the end. And then at the end of the day, I just want to see Varys and Tyrion
really,
talking about
yeah.
it.
It was really shitty when you have Jaime pull this great move and trick Tyrion, right? And then immediately after you have her revenge and she just burns them and you see the war is on
mm-hmm.
and then there are just no consequences.
Right.
For anyone.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, her troops are able to come back
mm-hmm.
and she meets with Cersei and they're like, oh, we're going to work together. No consequences for anything that just happened. Mm-hmm. I mean.
And no consequences for burning up the Tarly family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. The Tarlys are gone now.
They're dead.
Yeah. Morth. That's it. And just nothing for that. Even though that, I really did like that scene as well, but it didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, it was, there needs to be more nuance to these characters. And that's something I always appreciate about the show. There's not good guys. There's not bad guys. There are people that are in the middle. And it feels like we're getting to the extremes a little bit more as the show progresses, because that's what fan service dictates.
An issue I have with, especially writing for like Dany, is so when she's over in Essos, right, she's leading these grand speeches to just be like, hey, you're not slaves, you know, but if you want to fight with me and everything like that, do it. And she has these grandiose speeches of encouragement and everything like that. And then it develops into she's angry and pissed off at everything. Mm-hmm. And then we get that scene. And then she's talking with the Lannister men, and they're trying to make it, she's giving this like rousing speech. Well, come with me. Like, I'm not going to fight you if you know, fight with me. And then afterwards you'll leave a good life. Like, it's not, you can't bounce like that from character to character, because then you disassociate with them.
Right, right. Yeah, it does feel like her leadership style has...
She's a horrible leader.
Yes, yeah. But it's not like we really know why she's a horrible leader.
Yeah.
Other than what? She's a Targaryen, she likes burning things? Is that it? I mean, I don't know. I think that's a little weak. I mean, the whole point of the show is the breaking of family bonds and breaking the wheel and being different and... the conflict that you have between being loyal to your family but being your own person. And in many ways, all of these characters are trying to be their own person. Tyrion is trying to break away from his family, actually killed his father.
Yeah.
Jon can't stand standing in his father's shadow, right? He's so noble and he feels this stupid sense of honor and loyalty. And, you know, Robb Stark was unable to break out from his father's shadow and got his head chopped off for it. And Arya is literally becoming no one. And Sansa's becoming her own leader. And Bran's becoming the Three-Eyed Raven. This is a show about the constraints of family bonds and ultimately the catharsis that you get from breaking those bonds. And I didn't feel any of that. Right?
Yeah. No, the only thing that sort of shows that... that's sort of what this is about, is Jaime questioning Cersei in the last episode.
I like the way he left, too. That was great.
That was awesome.
That was actually one of the coolest things. I think, again, there's some off-screen on this, probably, but both Tyrion and Jaime calling Cersei's bluff in the exact same way and both of them leaving that room unscathed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we all agree that Cersei's biggest, like, pet peeve or thing that would drive her nuts is feeling weak.
Sure.
Oh, hands down, 100%.
Beyond anything else. And I think in that moment, in those two moments, she was proven weak. And I can't even imagine her feelings right now.
And not only proven weak, but proven weak by people who she thought were weak.
Who she thought she could manipulate.
Yeah.
Who she has devoted her entire life to having power
over. Yeah, and then they turn around and they're basically saying,
you have no power over
fuck
me.
Fuck off.
They're saying, you have no power over me.
Yeah.
And they're leaving. Yeah. Alive.
Absolutely. Let's see the consequences of that, though.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Let's not just get a bunch of people just fighting some CGI villains and living happily ever after.
But there's no reason they couldn't have done at least one more episode, two more episodes.
They could have done three easily.
Right.
This could have easily been 10 episodes.
More conversation. The hike, even the stupid plan, the hike to the north or whatever, all the way to the White Walkers, I mean, that could have taken a lot longer.
From Dragonstone?
And you know what? I would love more conversation between all of those great characters that were walking together.
Yeah,
more,
as opposed to showing up,
make it a road
opening
movie.
The jail, and then leaving. Yeah.
That's like a road movie, right?
Think about it. Jaime and Brienne spent a whole season doing that.
Yeah.
We spent a whole season with them walking from one place to another and just talking along the way. And even now, because they're rushing through it, it's like we can't really cash those checks. We spent all this time developing that relationship, and now it's reduced to 30 seconds yelling at each other in the dragon pit. I mean, that it's cool that we get to see all these people with deep history talking to one another, but, like, I don't know.
I would do more. I would have loved to see, instead of Brienne and the Hound...
That was a great scene.
It was a great scene, too. But I would have rather have seen Brienne and Jaime.
Sure.
Just because they're, you know?
No, I'd like to see more of everything.
Yeah.
And I would like to see more of legitimate conversations that people have with one another,
yeah,
rather than you are the prince that was promised. I'm mad at you. You betrayed me. Don't be ever betray me again.
Well, and that's what the show...
It's a lot of telling and not a lot of showing.
That's what the show should be, for a lot of... It shouldn't be, yeah, okay, we can have Battle of Bastards and Hud Home and everything like that, and have these big displays of aggression and war and everything like that, but... The best scenes, I know for Nico and I, and I think mm-hmm. for Nick, are literally people sitting and talking.
People in a room talking. It's as Tyrion's line earlier on in the show, I think in like season two or something, it's men in rooms having conversations.
Yeah.
And that's basically it.
And that's why
I drink
it
and
was,
I know things. Do you know how I much I know loved things, yeah. last year when it was Missandei and Grey Worm and Tyrion just on a fucking sitcom? You know, yeah. just ruling over yeah. Wherever they were. It was amazing. I just want more of that. That's why you watch TV. You watch TV to hang out with characters, and to get to know characters. And now it's just, this is where we have to get. How do we get there? What else happened in the season?
I have a couple. I mean, okay. So real quick, what happened to Ghost?
They didn't have money to animate
right.
him.
We're, Ghost.
No.
Is
it. Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
When did? Because you guys know, I watched it the whole. The first six seasons in a week, so I'm...
It's probably all blending together.
Yeah, it's all blending together. When did Ghost stop showing up?
Like, season six, halfway through.
Right, Ghost was with John when he was dead.
Okay. Ghost was with John when he died. Literally, it seems like almost the moment that John came back to life, Ghost is
Ghost is gone. Okay, that's yeah. what I was thinking.
And I don't think that's on purpose.
I'm pretty sure... No, did...
Like, almost, almost the same episode.
Was Ghost in the Battle of the Bastards? Was he
no,
featured there
no,
at all?
No, no, and I wasn't. Remember distinctly watching the Battle of Bastards and saying, "Where's Ghost?"
And waiting for Ghost.
I remember that. I don't get it. It's and now here's something kind of cool though.
Okay.
My uncle told me this yesterday. So my uncle, I want to tell you also, not the uncle we were talking about earlier, but one of my uncles watches Game of Thrones. All my uncles do, but he
yeah, you can
really
just,
liked
you can just
this
say
season.
A person in the world.
He really
Game
liked
of
this season
okay.
a lot.
Yeah.
And he watched the last episode like five times already. Which I find weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But he did tell me something that I did not know. Apparently, if you watch the White Walkers marching.
Oh yeah,
the end,
they form yeah.
What? They form what?
Oh no, go on.
That's not what I was gonna say.
Oh, okay.
You watch the White Walkers marching in the last episode of episode seven. There is a direwolf marching with them.
Is it, really?
Apparently. That's what I was told. I haven't seen it yet, but apparently there's a direwolf.
No, I thought you were talking about there's this one scene where they're watching and they form the outline of like the Stark direwolf as
that's
they're marching.
Cool. I didn't know that. That's
yeah.
cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he meant. He said there's the wolf when they're marching or something.
Yeah,
maybe.
No. No.
But I'm pretty sure he said it was a direwolf marching with them.
Well, no, it's probably because it looks like the Stark direwolf.
That's pretty cool.
Like
also.
Outlined with the whites.
I think that would be weird if Ghost was with the White Walkers all of a
sudden. Yeah.
Not Ghost, not Ghost.
And we didn't see that.
Not Ghost.
You're just saying in general
I don't
they
think
have
Ghost.
A direwolf.
Actually, more likely Summer, if we're going to talk about
oh, him. Yeah, could be.
Bran's direwolf,
sure,
who
sure.
died a few seasons ago. It's more likely Summer.
Right.
I
loved the scene with Arya and Nymeria.
Mm.
Nymeria.
Yeah.
That was a great scene.
I loved that scene.
Arya
was
really
good.
Literally awesome until she came to Winterfell.
Yes. And I actually don't know why she did come to Winterfell.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Really?
And I wonder if she's going to do that in the books too, because that felt like a very TV type decision.
Felt like it's like go complete. Let me look at that real quick. That's a bit of a stretch. Little bit of a
I mean,
stretch.
Let me see.
That's a bit of a stretch.
That's a blob.
I,
that's nothingness.
That's not a Stark direwolf.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah.
No, it is.
Wait a minute.
No, it is.
Hang on.
I don't know about that.
Head's right here.
Yeah, no, it's not. They're not both facing the all same right. direction. This is the head.
Yeah, okay.
That's a full body.
Sure. Still a stretch. I'm
of
not,
course it is.
Not buying
it's Game of Thrones.
Well, no, but yeah, no. Of
this
course
is like
it's a
this
stretch.
Is like
the internet if it in a stretch.
This is like John's sword blinked.
That's right.
It's
yeah.
like that.
Oh,
show.
That was the worst.
Get out of here.
That was the worst.
But supposedly there's a direwolf marching with them, which is pretty cool. If that's the case, mm-hmm. That could be fun. I mean, they got all sorts of creatures with them now: dragons, giants. I mean, why not a direwolf?
Sure, why not? Just throw them in there. More CGI.
I sense. Probably have never laughed harder than when I saw the Night King riding the dragon. That was. Really funny.
No, that was
it. Just
hilarious.
Did not. It was like the most CGI they could fucking do.
Ridiculous. Just
this the dragon.
And he's just.
Oh my, so good. I want to take a moment. Do we have anything else to add? Because I want to take a moment to talk about Ned Stark.
Go for it.
Okay. Oh, God. Okay.
Well, let's see. What else happened in the
finale?
Really
brief moment. This is obvious, but I just want to mention it. I don't feel right not saying it.
Okay, go ahead. Just say it.
A couple things, really. One, first, let's get into this first. Let's get back to Arya and Sansa.
Okay.
Ned Stark always said the one who makes the what's the exact wording?
That delivers the sentence.
Yeah, exactly. If you deliver the sentence, you must swing the sword, kind of
thing. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Arya is the one who slit his throat, while Sansa was the one who...
Littlefinger's throat?
Yeah.
Yes.
While Sansa was the one who proclaimed that he was guilty, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Sentenced him. What do you guys think about that? I already talked to you, Nico, about what I thought of it.
We did.
To a degree.
We did talk a little
bit. And it's a little loose. I'm not 100% sold on my thoughts, but...
I mean, it's one of those things where it...
I think it was an oversight. Let's just start there.
I think, ultimately, it's an oversight.
The answer is yes.
Yes. If I were to come up with some sort of reasoning behind it,
sure,
I would say that it's not, you know, the person who delivers it, but if a family agrees on something, then everyone has a part to play in the decision.
Sure.
That would be if I had to think of something, but I think ultimately it's just an oversight.
I'm not really, like I said, I'm not sold on my idea even. I mean, because it could be an oversight, and I have no issue accepting that.
I think it was 3 in the morning on a Sunday night, and the scripts were due to HBO the next day, and they just didn't think about it.
Yeah.
I honestly just think so. I think it's just lazy.
George wouldn't have done that.
No, he would not have. But
right? That would have been
That's why he's George.
Right.
That's why he's taken 7 years to write a book.
My thought, yeah.
Well, yeah.
I feel like almost anybody could write a great series if you take 7 years.
I couldn't.
I almost think, to a degree, if I were going to make a theory or guess or whatever, I think just the fact that Littlefinger was explicitly trying to rip them apart, the fact that they did it together was just another little kick in the face.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, no, okay.
Maybe. Sure. I mean,
it certainly brought them together. A weird way to bring them together, but it brought them together nonetheless, yes.
No, the bottom line, it was clearly an oversight.
And it was with his dagger, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Which is really nice.
The cat's paw.
It's amazing. Great.
It's great. Good stuff.
Everything coming full circle. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's fun.
Sure.
So, okay,
but then I think about Twin Peaks, and I think, a villain was defeated in Twin Peaks by a guy with a magical green glove that appeared 2 episodes earlier. But go ahead.
Really?
Keep going.
Fascinating.
Yeah. no one cares about coming full circle.
Yeah.
David Lynch don't give a shit.
Real quick, just like a little brief side point on the fact that John is who he is. It's confirmed, whatever. But I like what that says about Ned. And I'm sure everybody's already thought about this to a degree, but maybe some people haven't.
Why?
Ned is, in the books, he is this perfect character, right? Perfect, honorable.
Yeah.
Never, he always tells the truth, always does the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Except he has this one flaw. He cheated on his wife and had a bastard, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And the fact that, obviously, now we 100% can confirm that John isn't his son and that he had to lie to his wife, even, to protect this child, I think it just...
For, at this point, would be, what, like 18 years?
I mean, something like that, yeah. I mean, it just adds to that how honorable Ned Stark is, that he will not break a promise. It's not so much that Ned or the Starks, in general, are... honest. That's actually not really their flaw. It's not their honesty. It's that when they make a promise, they don't break their promise. That's the key.
Yeah.
That's what got Rob killed. That's what John did in that scene with Daenerys and Cersei. He doesn't break his promises. He doesn't break his vows. That's the rule. So the fact that when Lyanna said, please, Ned, save him. Don't, like, they can never find out.
Mm-hmm.
That just adds a new layer of honor to Ned Stark. And I just like that. I think that's a little...
Okay.
Nice little touch.
And started a war over a lie.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And fought a war and killed a lot of people and uprooted an entire dynasty.
Really, I don't think the lie that started the war was Ned's lie. The lie that started the war was Robert Baratheon's and maybe Lyanna's.
Well, Ned was in a position, though, to clear that air up.
Yeah, no, Ned had the opportunity to end the war.
The war was already over by the time he found out. You guys don't realize that the same time that Robert Baratheon killed Rhaegar Targaryen during that battle was the exact same time that Ned was at the tower with Lyanna. The war was over. You guys don't know that piece, probably.
Okay. I thought this was all beforehand.
No.
Okay. All right, that clears things up
a little bit. So the war was over. Okay. So really, at this point, she basically Lyanna knew the war was over mm-hmm. as well. They knew they were going to lose. Mm-hmm. And they knew the Baratheons were going to take over. And she basically told Ned, she said, Robert can never know. Because Robert thought Lyanna was betrothed to him.
Sure.
And if he knew that Lyanna's son was a Targaryen, he would have killed it.
Sure. Right.
So that – but it adds a whole new layer of honor to Ned in a way that I really think just kind of cleans up his character. Ned Stark, in my opinion, is the best character in the show. Really.
Okay, great. So but we've also known about this for 3 years.
Yeah.
Is the point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's all I'm trying to say when I complain about that moment.
Which is why I agree. I'm just saying I just wanted to bring it up because I feel like it needs to be brought up, just at least mentioned.
Sure.
Because it's a nice little
piece. Jaime's killing Cersei.
I hope so.
And thank you for beating us over the head with it, Game of Thrones. I really appreciate it.
Sure hope
when
so.
When he's looking at his hand like that, like, okay, got it.
Yep.
10-4.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. You can tease that out a little bit more. Maybe put a little seed of doubt in our heads. Just feels very heavy-handed at this point.
Oh, you're such an idiot.
Because his hand's made of metal.
Yeah. You know what's going to be a great climax next year is when
we come back and see Danny climaxing.
No, it's when the Hound. It's when the Hound.
The Clegane Bowl
beats the mountain in the Clegane. Yeah.
We need the Clegane Bowl
because it's going to be a real peak.
Actually,
it's going to be a real precipice.
I did just think of another little piece too.
I made a mountain pun, guys, and you totally missed
the precipice.
It. Yeah, it's going to be great. Great climax.
The summit of the show.
That's right.
The heavy-handed one is funny.
One other stupid thing. We heard the theories of Azor Ahai. All this crap.
Yes.
Wait. What?
Azor Ahai is the Lightbringer. The sword is called Lightbringer.
Yes.
Azor Ahai is the one who, in the mythology, wielded Lightbringer to defeat the White Walkers or whatever. Right. Okay. And they say Jon is Azor Ahai. They said Stannis was for a while. All this crap. Right. In the story, you know about how he had to forge the sword? He tried to forge the sword over 30 days. He dipped it in the water and it broke. So he forged the sword over 40 days and then he stabbed it through the heart of a lion, which I don't know how that makes the sword better, but and it broke.
Because now the sword has bragging rights.
Right. And yeah. So he
was like, fuck y'all, I killed a lion.
So a third time with a heavy heart, he knew what he had to do. He forged the sword for 50 days, stabs it through his wife's heart.
Sure.
And suddenly Lightbringer.
Naturally, yeah.
Right.
How all great swords are made.
Exactly.
Also how serial killers are made.
I mean, really, aren't they one and the same? I mean,
so little pieces of this, though, there are things about the theory that I don't like at all. Because, I mean, A, killing a lion, that implies he has to kill some sort of Lannister or some shit, right? Stupid.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they say the one he loves, that would almost mean that, like, let's say Jon is Azor Ahai. If he has to stab Daenerys through the heart, as much as I hate her and want her to die, that will just make me mad. Because it's like, what's the fucking point?
Yeah,
that ain't happening.
That
ain't happening.
So, what
is the point of the Azor Ahai? I'm not sure. I don't even think we need to have a full discussion on this because it's stupid. But everybody's talking about all these things, like, oh, Jon is Azor Ahai. How's he gonna forge Lightbringer? And
no,
it's gonna be stupid no matter what they do, in my opinion.
Sure, and they may not even explore it.
They should not.
Okay, well, hopefully. You may get your wish. That CGI. So we only have six so far.
Episodes. So
I am shocked at how much they force fed us in these seven, though.
Yeah.
So they might force feed us a lot more.
So much plot.
You know, for someone who used to really be into the plot aspects and less the character aspects,
everything else.
Yeah, I think I've grown a lot as a viewer.
Yes. No. I think the world has as well.
Yeah.
Even though people are still watching this show in droves, 90 million of them.
I think Twin Peaks is really what I can thank. As well, because it is so slow. You gotta be.
Oh, you think the old show is slow?
Yeah.
Oh, the old show's the Bourne Identity compared to what the new show is.
My worry is
keeping
Michaela interested in it once we get to season 3.
You got no shot.
Yeah.
You got no
shot. I'm worried about
that. Do you enjoy 3-minute sequences where a guy is sweeping the floor in a bar?
I do.
Okay, well, you're in luck then.
That sounds like Horace and Pete for some reason.
Horace. Well, that's not hard to do. Horace and Pete is a masterpiece.
Oh, Twin Peaks is incredible. Oh my god, I love it so much. Anyway.
Okay, maybe I'll go watch that.
We are gonna talk about it when all three of us finally watch that third last episode. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, whoever is the last one to get there, mm-hmm. watch it with us. Two or whatever.
Yes.
Like watch it with the other two.
Yes.
Let's all watch it. I have a feeling it's gonna be you, which is why I'm looking at you. Zach.
Do not underestimate this man's ability to binge, bro.
I watched 60 hours of Game of Thrones in a week.
That is true.
Yes.
There's
Twin Peaks is a bit of a tougher hang, though.
It is. You'll get to a point where you'll be like, okay, I need a break.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
yeah.
But,
Game of Thrones is a lot more bingeable. Anyway.
Again, you underestimate.
There's even a possibility you and I will get there around the same time, but we'll watch it, all three of us together, watch that last episode, and we'll just talk.
Okay, you realize now I have to finish before you.
Yes, you do.
Go for it. Hopefully I don't care.
Like the fire on still, your belly.
Now I know for a fact what I'm doing today.
You will still have to wait for me to catch up.
Where are you right now, Twin Peaks?
Only like two more episodes further than I said last time.
Okay.
Which was?
I am just past figuring out who killed Laura Palmer.
Is that season one?
Season two. About halfway through season two is where I am.
Okay.
So... yeah, so I have another half a season and then a full season of season three is the longest season.
18 episodes.
How long is season two? Is it 22?
22 episodes.
22? Yeah.
Yes.
So
I'll be done in a week.
I love Twin Peaks. Okay.
It's a great show.
I'll be done by Friday.
The thing was, too, I hated the original, kind of. I appreciated what it was, but it was never my cup of tea, and I just sort of powered through it because I had nothing better to do. But then this new show came along and I'm like, oh my God, forget it. I can't game of what? I don't even know. Anything else we got Game of Thrones wise?
I think we covered our bases.
I think so. That's our deep dive into season seven. That's our deconstruction of, a weak season of a very great television program. Let's be very clear about
this. Well, yeah, no, we've all said a bad season of Game of Thrones is still...
It's still good TV.
It's
still appointment viewing. It's still something that I enjoy talking about. And
I mean, people put money into Once Upon a Time.
Still. Didn't they, like, just get picked up again for another season?
I don't know, man.
The show is awful.
And meanwhile, NCIS Los Angeles remains the number one show on the television.
I don't get that either. That's not even the, like, Special Victims Unit. That's where we're at.
Well, and, like, CSI had two spinoffs. Three spinoffs, actually.
Four. I believe they had Miami, they had New York, they had...
Cyber.
They had Cyber, and... yeah, was it? Yeah, they had three.
So three spinoffs.
Yeah, they had three spinoffs. You're right.
Yet
no, they had four, didn't they?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
And then they had... I mean, CSI still went on for, what was it, like 18 seasons or some bullshit?
A while.
Like, it's amazing how bad...
What's your favorite CSI?
I don't like CSI at all. I like Law and Order. I don't like CSI.
As a whole, I like New York the best.
Really?
Yeah, I like...
That was my least favorite.
I like... Oh, I hated Miami.
What?
Hated Miami.
Oh, Miami's the best. See, no, no, no,
I hated,
no,
no, I no, hated no, Miami. No, no, no,
no, no. Yo!
It was awful.
Bam, bam, bam.
It was terrible.
I like
the first like six seasons of CSI and then it got shit and then but as a whole I like it.
I love David Caruso.
What about Criminal Minds?
Oh, Criminal Minds is the worst show ever.
I don't like Criminal Minds. I don't like Criminal Minds. I don't like Law and Order. I don't like NCIS.
I will say I actually do like Criminal Minds better than the other one. CSI. I want to make sure I didn't have the wrong acronym. Mm-hmm.
I like Criminal Minds better than Law and Order.
Really, all I watch is Law and Order SVU. I don't even watch anything else.
I don't like it.
Yo. Everyone likes SVU.
I'm a big Law and Order Criminal Intent fan. You ever watch that
Criminal
one?
Criminal Intent's good.
That's Criminal Intent's good. Vincent D'Onofrio stars in that one.
Good, good.
Oh,
good,
it's
classic.
Glorious.
I just don't like Law and Order.
Man, I haven't watched those shows in so long.
I don't get Law and Order.
Dun, dun.
I don't. The it's theme about, song's great. That's
it's
about
it. Law and order.
It's fucking stupid.
It's more of almost like a courtroom drama.
It is a courtroom
drama. And I hate courtroom dramas.
Oh, you're out of order, sir. can't handle the truth. Okay. Cool. This has been fun. We'll be back next week. We do have an idea for next week.
Yes, we do.
We have not told Nick the idea for next week.
Nope. That's the plan.
We are not going to tell Nick the idea until he comes here next Sunday, correct?
Correct.
Great.
That's just like if you did tell me.
You'd forget it immediately.
I wouldn't, and it's not like I'd do any research. I would know.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
All right.
We'll all be here together. Adam will be back. We'll continue this fun journey that we go on each and every week called Why Is This a Thing? TooManyThoughtsMedia.com, TMT.media, at Funny Nico Tweets, at Tacky Slacks, at Zach Cap, at Some Adam Hall. We love you. And you've all been naughty.
No.
No, Tweet.